It is good that we can be together again for our discussions in the Word of God, which we trust are a blessing to you. Will you open your Bibles today, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew, that portion of the Word that we are considering together, keeping in mind that we have begun a discussion of what we referred to as the offenses and the withdrawals of the Lord Jesus Christ. These discussions are based upon Matthew chapter 13, the very last paragraph, on through the 16th chapter. We said that there were three ways in which people stumbled at the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them we have already considered under the term the offense of familiarity. The Lord Jesus Christ, after he had discussed the parables found in chapter 13, withdrew to his own village, the village of Nazareth, went into the synagogue, he began to teach, and he began to perform miracles, and people within the city, that is, the common people, were astonished at what they heard and what they had seen. And it was difficult for them to believe it, because he had been raised in their midst. They knew his brothers and his sisters, and they said, surely this man couldn't do this. There's no way he could do it. We know him, and so forth. Because they were so familiar with him, they failed to recognize the mighty power that he had. And, of course, we concluded our remarks with the statement that the Lord Jesus Christ himself made when he said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. And we said as well that the Lord Jesus Christ was not able to do there many mighty works because of their unbelief. And the application that we want to re-emphasize today is that oftentimes we can become too familiar with sacred things. We can even become too familiar with our church attendance, our Sunday school attendance, our reading of the Word of God. And being so familiar with those things, find it difficult to let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. And of course we must remember that the Word of the living God is God's message to us. We dare not get too familiar with it. We must recognize it as the Holy Word of God. Now, there was another offense which the Lord Jesus Christ caused, another reason for stumbling. But even as we say he caused it, we have to be honest and say, really, he didn't, because he would not intentionally cause anybody to stumble. But people stumbled at what he said and what he did. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 20, the second offense is brought to our attention. We will not have time to read the entire paragraph, of course, so we call to your attention the thing that was described as the offense of tradition, so that you will realize what we're speaking about. I would suggest to you today that not only men are guilty of the offense of familiarity, to which we have already made reference, they are guilty of the offense of tradition as well, because they are guilty of stumbling at that very thing. The key verse in the paragraph is the 12th verse, Matthew 15:12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, had rebuked the Pharisees, and they didn't like what was said. And so when his disciples had a chance, they said to the Lord Jesus in private, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? Now, that didn't mean they were angry. It means they were caused to stumble. They were not going to receive the truths because they didn't like what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And we might ask ourselves today, why didn't they like it? Well, when you read the paragraph, you will find the details, but they did not like it because what the Lord Jesus Christ said conflicted with their traditions. Get that? What the Lord Jesus Christ said conflicted with their traditions. The word tradition is the translation of the Greek word paradosis, which speaks of something that is handed down. It may be good, it may be bad. In this instance, it was bad, because what was handed down is described in verse 9, where we read, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What are the traditions here? Well, the traditions here are the commandments of men which are put in the place of the plain teaching of the Word of God. So often, the traditions of men are so mixed up with the Word of God that people don't know the difference between tradition and the Word. That's the reason why that when anyone, preacher, layman, or anyone else, tells you that God expects certain things of you, you should automatically say in your mind, tradition or the Word? Tradition or the Word? And if you do not know, then you should say to the person who is instructing you, now, is that tradition or is it the Word? Sometimes they will say tradition. But tradition, which was handed down to us from the church fathers, and they have as much weight as the Word. You have every right in the world on the authority of the Word of God to say, I can't accept that. Tradition does not bear the same weight as the Word of God. And tradition is evil when men tend to substitute it in place of the gospel plainly taught in the Word of God. If the individual, in answer to your question, tradition or the Word, says the Word, I'm sure it's the Word, well, you say, please give me the chapter and the verse, because all too often individuals in all sincerity are steeped through with tradition to such an extent that they don't know what the Word of God has to say. We need to be careful about tradition. Now, in this particular paragraph, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with tradition and the Word in a twofold fashion. He contrasted tradition and doctrine so that we might know exactly what he was talking about. He contrasted tradition with doctrine, first of all, in the area of defilement. What is the source of defilement? Well, the Pharisee said in verse 2 of this chapter, unwashed hands is the source of defilement. The Lord Jesus said in verses 18 through 20, no, no. Defilement does not come from unwashed hands, but it comes from unregenerated hearts. Now, let me illustrate for you what was happening here. The disciples ate one day without washing their hands. The Pharisee saw it happen and came to Jesus and said, why do your disciples violate the tradition of the elders by eating without washing their hands? Now, let's understand at once, this had nothing to do with sanitation. They were not talking about washing their hands for sanitary purposes. They were talking about a ceremonial practice that had its roots in many different things. One of the basic things was the elders taught that there were demons all around, and these demons loved to take up residence on the hands of people. So they said, you have to wash your hands before you eat, because if you don't, the demons will get inside of you and defile you. Individuals were so concerned about this that oftentimes, when they were prisoners and water was given to them to drink, they used it rather to wash their hands before they ate, so the demons would not get inside and defile them. Seems rather foolish, doesn't it? But it is no more foolish than many of the traditions of today that you may recognize if we had time to examine them, which we don't. That's the reason why we have emphasized to you, ask the question always, tradition or the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ heard the question, why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? He said to them, I want to know something from you. I want to know why you violate the Word of God by your traditions. Then he went on to explain what he meant. He said, it isn't because of what goes into a man, because his hands are dirty, that defiles him spiritually. It's the condition of his heart that describes the defilement which men have to deal. So notice in verse 18, Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You see how tradition contradicts the word of God? You see how serious it is? Individuals could wash their hands 1,000 times and think their hearts were right with God. But, beloved, it takes the doctrine of the word to uncover the heart of man and show that it is deceitful and desperately wicked, and no human being can begin to fathom it. That heart must be generated. That's the reason why that we say that tradition is satisfied to talk about dirty hands, but the word of God talks about dirty hearts. Will you make that application? Now, I said there were two areas in which the Lord Jesus Christ contrasted tradition and doctrine. According to tradition in verse 5, individuals could get out of the responsibility of honoring their father and their mother, the first commandment with promise, by using the word korban. Matthew doesn't use it, but Mark does. The story is the same. They could get out of honoring their father and their mother by saying to their father or mother, who were in need financially, "Father, I have given all that I have to God, and there isn't anything that I can do to help you." Now, really, the interesting thing about it was they hadn't really given it to God while they were still alive. They had made sort of a will and said, "Now, everything that I have when I'm dead is going to go to God, so I can't help you, Mother and Dad." The Lord Jesus Christ said the word of God doesn't say that. The word of God says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your life may be long on the land which the Lord thy God has given you." I would suggest to you that the word of God is much more important than tradition, and we must be careful that we do not fall into the errors of following tradition instead of the word, because there are a great many dangers involved, and we'll look at some of those dangers in our next study. But I would like to ask you today, upon what are you basing your faith? Upon what are you basing your hope? Is it the Church of God? Is it the Church of the doctrine that you believe? Is it the Word of the living God? I would say to you that you must trust the word. Examine all things in the light of that. To the law and to the testimony, said the prophet.